Good morning. It's approximately 9:31 on Friday, February the 3rd, 2012. We are in the hearing room of the OPA. I'm Anthony Arcamacha. I'm presiding over this hearing as the hearing officer. This is OPA-PA-11-018. We are here for the status hearing and hearing on motions for that case, and that's an appeal of J&amp;B Modern Tech. Will the members of the Office of Public Accountability who are present for this hearing this morning please identify themselves for the record?
Charles Flores, against Public Auditor.
Ann Camacho, Appeals Administrator.
Vincent Duenas, Auditor.
Thank you. Will the counsel for the appellant please identify herself for the record and any of the appellant's representatives that are present with her this morning?
Good morning. Katrina Campana of Cabot Mantinonia LLP, Counsel for J&amp;B Modern Tech. I'm present with Gene Van Dyen, the President of J&amp;B Modern Tech, and Alex Salazar, the Project Manager for J&amp;B Modern Tech.
Thank you, Ms. Campana. Will counsel for the purchasing agency please identify herself for the record and any of the purchasing agency's representatives that are with her this morning?
Purchase agency is the Guam Department of Education. Rebecca Perez, legal counsel for GDOE. Present with me is Marcus Pito, the Supply and Management Administrator for the department.
Thank you, Ms. Perez. And going to the notice of the hearing, this is been labeled as a status hearing because it's my understanding that neither of the parties have requested a hearing in this matter.
I believe we did request a hearing along with the initial filing of the notice of appeal.
I don't recall seeing that, Ms. Campana.
And for DOE, I don't believe we have put it on the record at this time. We would put forth it. I actually believe this matter will necessarily need a hearing. We would request one because of the issues that have been raised with the agency report and the comments to that report by opposing counsel. And if I could make one administrative clarification.
Yes.
We do have several appeals pending before the OPA at this time, several of which do involve funds that do have a time limit. However, I'd like to inform the OPA that this particular appeal is 100% locally funded. This appeal is 100% locally funded. This is not, this one is not associated with the funds under Public Law 30-41 or the previously named ARRA fund. So this appeal in particular is local. However, we would put forth that given the requirements of the Adequate Public Education Act and the requirements that temperature in classrooms, which is affected directly by this appeal, does put a certain amount of pressure on the department to have these services in a timely fashion. So we would ask that with whatever procedures could be done to see this through quickly, we would ask for this.
Just for a point of clarification then, what is funding this? Where is the money coming
this
from?
This is locally funded.
I know.
Budget funded, locally budget, local appropriations.
Out of?
The general fund.
This is not bond fund money?
According to the procurement manager, no.
Oh. It's out of the operating budget?
Yes.
I didn't think there was any money in the operating budget.
Well, we've certified that the funds were available for this.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification.
Okay. Going through the notice of appeal, Ms. Campana, I do not see a request for a hearing.
I was able to locate, and I believe that it was filed with the notice of hearing that was submitted on December 13th. I do have a copy of that received by the Office of Public Accountability.
We have one as well that she did file.
You do?
Yeah. It's for us, it was actually
Can I go and get a further copy of her, please?
Not that we filed, that she filed.
We understand.
Yeah,
okay.
She filed.
For the record, I'll have some more thoroughly reviewed, but I believe we also filed a formal request for hearing.
Okay, what I'm seeing and what you presented to me, which was filed on December the 13th, is just a notice of a hearing. It is not a request for a hearing.
We did file it on our firm's letterhead, but we used the same format from the OPA forms, the request for hearing, which I believe Ms. Harris does have her copy of.
And you want to compare the copy?
Yeah. Just one or two copies. Is it this one? Okay. It just was here. It was here, really close to here.
Okay, I believe there's also a time limit to request a hearing. I believe that's around the same time you submit a, I'll have to double check, but I believe it's around the same time that, where it expires, around the time you have to file your comments to the agency report, if memory serves me right. I, looking through the file, there is no formal request for a hearing, say.
It appears that from your file.
Okay. We believe it'd be unfair for us not to turn that over.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Okay,
so my oversight now.
Oversight on our part, we apologize.
Let me make that correction, so there is a notice, okay? Okay, let me just correct that after seeing this. I'm going to verify that the appellant on December 13, 2011, did in fact request a hearing. Okay.
We're just making copies afterwards.
So the issue now would be, when would you be available for the hearing?
If we could clarify, though, we filed our comments on the agency reports they were filed on January 9th, 2012. Uh-huh. We haven't received a rebuttal, and I would like to ask if OPA will be allowing a rebuttal or a reply from the agency, or if that needs to be factored in. We would ask at this time that they not be allowed to file a rebuttal.
We don't intend to. We got her comments. We're allowed to file a rebuttal if we so choose. We believe that our agency report stands on its own. We'll argue what's in the agency report.
Okay. So the only issue then would be scheduling a hearing. In that case.
I'm sorry. Officer Camacho, I'm not sure how you want us to refer to you, quite frankly, on the record, but
Mr. Camacho.
Mr. Camacho, then. I do believe that there may be one other matter that might affect the date that you schedule the hearing, and that would be the matters of procurement record, definition of procurement record, and the fact that opposing counsel has, in fact, requested documents. In addition to those that have been filed. So I'm not sure if that would affect the meeting schedule.
Well, that was, okay, I'm just holding the status hearing first, but going back to that, that's the only motion pending. I note that there's been no opposition.
Which
to the motion
is that?
With their comments to the agency report, they did in fact file a motion to compel the production of the entire procurement record. Is that correct, Ms. Campana?
Yes, it is. On the same date, January 9th, we filed a motion to compel the entire procurement record because there was a supplement to the original 5-page procurement record that was filed, filed along with the agency report. However, our records don't reflect that a certification of record was ever filed as required by 5 DCA Section 5250. Which is a part of the procurement record where DDOE would certify that the record has been maintained. And we're worried that this might harm our ability to respond to their position and prepare for the hearing.
Well, what documents exactly are you looking for? Is it just a certification for the record, or the certification of procurement record required by 5 GCA Section 5250? Are there any other documents beyond that that you're looking for?
We believe it appears from what was filed with the agency statement that the procurement record is complete up to this point. So we, at this point, just require the certification in order to complete the procurement record.
Ms. Perez, your response?
No award has been made, and what Section 5 GCA 5250 requires is that the certification be done prior to an award. So there is no certification at this point. An intent to award has been made, but an award itself is not. Therefore, there is no document to turn over at this time.
If I may, 5 GCA 5250 states that no procurement record or no procurement award shall be made unless the responsible procurement officer certifies in writing under penalty of perjury that he has maintained the record. That on its face seems to indicate that before making the award, certification should be completed and that should be part of
well,
the record.
Well, that's correct, but keep in mind that the award itself would hence become part of the procurement record. Likewise, all the analysis. For example, that the agency would put into determining who the responsive and responsible bidders are, who the lowest bidder, for example, in this case, would be. All that would be part of the record. But my understanding then is that this is a the initial protest was made pre-award. Ms. Perez?
There has been no final award of this procurement. So that would be correct. No purchase order has been issued by the department for this procurement. That is the information that I've received from my client. We also read Section 5250 to say you can't make an award unless you have this certification. And since we haven't made an award, I'm not saying that we haven't kept the record. What I'm saying is that certification is required to be issued prior to award, and it hasn't been issued in this case.
Let me just to make it simpler for us non-lawyers. everything that has been presented is true and complete to the best of your upon swearing to the best of your knowledge.
Yes.
So then there is no additional documents to up until the award, everything, and there has been no additional documents.
And for that, I would like to clarify. What we have submitted in the agency report and in our procurement record is what the department believes is required pursuant to Section 5 GCA 5249. Unfortunately, because of some problems with fax transmission, I'll be quite frank, the department missed its motion cutoff deadline for this. Okay, I wasn't aware of the motion cutoff, but there had been an intention to file a motion to ask to clarify what the requirements of the procurement record are. The department does not dispute that the OPA has, and the hearing officer has, incredibly broad authority to require the submission of documents it believes would be helpful to an appeal. However, we have filed pursuant to the procurement law and the procurement regulations, each of those documents that are listed in Section 5249 and in the procurement appeals regulations, those documents that are required. It, however, is not an exhaustive list of every document that's in the procurement file.
I see.
That's our position on this. So we've produced what we believe is required under the law and the regulation. There are other documents that are not required to be listed. We would not object to an order of the hearing officer to produce those. But at this point, we believe we have complied with the statutory and regulatory definition of the documents required to be filed.
Well, let's go back to 5 GCA Section 5249.
Mm-hmm.
And you state that, is it my understanding that you interpret DOE's interpretation of that statute is that the only thing that belongs in the procurement record are subsections that listed subsections A through E?
I don't believe it's an exhaustive list. I believe it's a list at the minimum, and that by statutory definition, which is in the procurement regulations, it says submit the procurement record. A search of the regulations and the law, to me, has produced Record of Procurement Actions at 5249. So that's our impression of what needs to be submitted.
Well, what about the first sentence? Because, you know, if you interpret a statute, okay, you have to kind of look at the whole statute. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I believe there are several cases by the Supreme Court that state that. And where it talks about record of procurement actions, it says a procurement officer shall maintain a complete record. Now, it goes on further to define what a complete record would be, but there's no language limiting the complete record to that list from A through E. Likewise, if you were to peruse 52 or 5GCA section 5251, where it says public record, it says the record required by 5249 is a public record. And there are various exceptions to that throughout the procurement law, depending on what method of solicitation that you are using as to what's disclosable and when. I have many examples of that, but I read 5GCA section 5249, likewise 5GCA section 5251 is the complete record is a public record with the exception of specific items listed in the various methods of solicitation. I don't believe any of those apply here.
We don't doubt that there's absolutely public portions of the record. Again, it's what we go off, what we've gone off in this is the guidance, the fairly limited guidance available in statute and in regulation. Additionally, under 2JAR 12104C7, there's no doubt. GDOE does not in any way doubt, again, the ability of this office to compel production of records relevant to this. The reason why this is becoming an issue is because I myself have 5 appeals before you now. This is not my first time appearing before the OPA. I've also looked through some of the different procurement records that have been filed and that are posted publicly on the site. I have searched the OPA site to see if there is additional regulatory or policy guidance as to what would be deemed a complete procurement record. I have looked through the regulations and through the statute, and what I'm left with is this is the minimum list needed to comply with this. That's my interpretation of it on behalf of the department. Now, if there's a different order by the OPA or the hearing officer for us to produce those documents, and it's actually under the hearing officer's discretion under subsection C7, we will comply. We don't argue that okay. You have the power to do it, but we are confused. If a new attorney were to appear for every agency tomorrow, I do believe the same question would come up. What is the definition of a complete procurement record? Because I don't believe the statute offers adequate guidance.
Actually, now I know you quote the Guam administrative regulations, but I believe DOE has its own procurement regulations. Have you seen DOE procurement regulation 3.27.6, which actually states the rules for procurement records for DOE? And I cite number one, actually, it does state that you have to protect the confidentiality of trade secrets. I don't believe anybody or any party, interested party in this procurement, followed the process or claimed a trade secret. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Barring that,
there were something that were labeled confidential.
Okay.
There were several that were labeled confidential.
They would be filed with the OPA, but not given. They would be withheld from opposing counsel.
Okay, so that's one possible exception to disclosure. But 3.27.6 goes on to state that it requires the public access to a DOE procurement record at the earliest possible time. Likewise, it goes on to state that the record not be complete or that the procurement award be made before inspection and copying of the record be permitted. You still state that that's insufficient guidance, so.
Maybe if I could just make a comment as an auditor, and, you know, and barring whatever the legal definition. For us, we look at everything pertaining to the bid under question or the action is all part of procurement record. And any subsequent thing that happened becomes part of the procurement record. So while granted this bid is in motion, everything up until this point that you have pertaining to this bid is, in our lay opinion, not legal, part of the procurement record. So you did earlier state that there were documents that you have not. So for the interest of, you know, clarity, please also provide, we would like to that you provide all of those documents. And if you deem any of them to be confidential, likewise, then it will just be for our eyes only and not for the appellant.
DOE has no objection to that, and we'll submit those documents. Basically, I think everything in the file, then, in anything that does fall under the confidential provisions, we will. The reason why I'm bringing this up is really not in the purpose of nitpicking this matter to death on this table. It is because I'd like to avoid in the future having to do it at this point in the procedure. If there were policy guidance, if there were other regulatory guidance, if there were an advisory order issued that could be posted so that every time this matter, a new matter came up, it would be
I'm trying to understand your argument. I'm taking, reading both the statute, okay, and also DOE's procurement regulation, which requires a complete procurement record, which also states that the complete record is a public record, which requires public access
at
the earliest possible time.
If they had requested it, we would have given it to them. If you ask for it, we will give it to you. The question isn't whether or not it's accessible. The question is what needs to be turned in under the deadline for procurement record and under the deadline for agency report. Additionally, under agency report, there are certain things that would be construed under your broader definition as part of the procurement record. Then the question becomes, which deadline applies? Because they're not the same deadline. So if documents under the agency report would be construed as documents under the procurement record, do we have to turn it in under the earlier deadline? Those are the kinds of questions, quite frankly, that came up in my analysis of this matter.
Well, I think the regulations are specific that the procurement record, the complete procurement record, be disclosed at a certain point of time in the appeal. It's a public record.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Likewise,
then they've given us a false deadline under the agency report record. Because under the agency report, the documents that are required to be produced under that, for example, the winning bid or the winning bid, a copy of the solicitation, any other documents that are relevant, that's a 10-day deadline.
Well, we will.
I'm just saying it leads to the confusion on my part then of which deadline would even apply.
Okay. Well, in response, Ms. Campana.
It seems apparent, just based on both my review of previous procurement appeals and my personal experience with the Office of Public Accountability, the general practice is to, in accordance with the GAR and apparently GDOE's specific rules, to submit the documents as soon as possible to allow both the public auditor and the appellant an opportunity to review and prepare to provide their comments. This is also problematic. It undermines just general transparency required of the government agencies. And then, you know, we have the issue of it affects our deadlines, and we haven't had a chance to respond. But also, the general practice, as I understand it, is to submit everything with the initial filing and then in the procurement record, and then refer back to that in your agency report, see previously submitted procurement record. And to do otherwise, you know, it's obvious to me that they did miss the deadline for submission of the procurement record.
Well, let's back up, though. So are there, once again, of all the documents submitted up to this point, are there any other documents you find are lacking?
Up to this point, it's sufficient. For now, the basis of DOE's response, which they've changed the denial protest from a high price grounds to a totally different grounds, but we do have all of the documents we need so far to evaluate their position.
Okay.
So
Are there any other documents that have not been disclosed by DOE in terms of procurement record?
We'll say that the procurement record on file, again, stating that we believe it meets the minimum requirements, know that there are additional documents, but we will, if...
There are additional documents?
Yes,
there were.
Okay.
So we'll have, we would want those.
Okay. I will, okay, any other issues on your motion to compel, Ms. Campana?
No, but as noted, we can't evaluate documents we don't know exist, and it is apparently a duty that they have on themselves that they're refusing to acknowledge that they have to produce everything. So it's unfortunate because I'm not sure what sort of consequence there would be against DOE for, you know, this wanton disregard for their own duties as an agency, and that's the problem with this issue.
Well, generally for the non-disclosure procurement documents, there is actually a procedure where you file in the Superior Court of Guam, and I believe there may be some various sanctions if a court finds that procurement data has been wrongfully withheld from public disclosure. Likewise, under the Sunshine Act or the Government's Freedom of Information Act, that's the second body of law that there is case precedent would also apply to a procurement record, especially that law's very broad definition of what constitutes a public document and the very narrow exceptions, statutory exceptions, to that general policy that applies to all of government, to DOE. And there are various sanctions there for the withholding of that type of information. But that, I note that that procedure has not been the one followed here, as that would require a specific request. Okay. In any event, I will take your motion under advisement and issue a order at a later time. Likewise, there are some documents that apparently have not been disclosed by DOE in the procurement record. I will have to evaluate what effect it might have on the timeline of scheduling a hearing in this matter. Are there any other issues that need to be taken up at this time? I will issue my decision in writing, hopefully early next week.
Sure, I expect that we can have the documents that we believe we would submit. One example is I'm looking at a list that was provided, not as an order of the OPA, but by OPA staff. It says, for example, evaluation and recommendation for award memo. These are the types of documents that we would be talking about. We could have these submitted by next Wednesday. So, I mean, just for your scheduling purposes, under C7, if there were requests, it would be 5 working days, but in the interest of expediting this matter, we'll submit them within 3. We'll have them submitted by next Wednesday morning.
And I'll, once again, take your motion under advisement. If you choose to voluntarily submit those documents by next week, Wednesday, that's up to DOE. But there will be a written determination of the motion to compel.
And can I clarify, the motion to compel is still under just the certification of record for which you provided a response?
Well,
that she added on.
She states in her motion to compel that I will consider the scope of the motion as well. Okay. And like I said, we will take that under advisement.
And if I can clarify, though, the reason that we pinpointed in our motion that the certification of record was lacking was because it was so obvious to us that we had received an incomplete procurement record. It was mostly control logs. There was no substance to it. It just seemed very obvious. And so we thought a good starting point would be to request a comprehensive list of what would be included and then a reason for justification.
I'll review. Okay, I think we this force enough here. So, like I said, review the motion. Review the scope of the motion as well and issue a written decision. Okay, is there anything else?
I would like to leave this alone too, because we need time to delay it. So if she submits by Thursday, how long is it going to take? And so we can have, let's set up some timelines rather than to meet to set up some timelines. Is that possible?
Well, we would have to have a pre-hearing conference, and there's got to be a 10-day notice period before the the actual hearing.
So we're going to reschedule this, and let's get some preliminary dates, and, yeah, so we can move this along.
Would the parties be available on Friday the 10th for a pre-hearing conference?
I know that Mr. Bengalian will be off island until February 16th, so if we could schedule for after that date.
When is he returning?
February 16th.
Would he be available on the 17th for a pre-hearing conference?
Yes.
Ms. Paris?
Checking my calendar, Mr. Camacho.
And I do understand this is one of, I believe, five pending DOE matters, so.
Oh, rather urgent. So the sooner the better.
I understand.
Acknowledging the burden to the single legal counsel for the department.
I understand.
The sooner the better. If that is the earliest that her client is available, yes, we would be available on the 17th, and we'd ask for the hearing date.
Well, all we're really, okay, well, let's back up here. All we're really doing is just scheduling a hearing. Okay, so really, I think you've been to, both of you have been to several pre-hearing conferences now, and that's really all we do is come up with the schedule for a hearing. Is your client's physical presence that necessary for that purpose?
I'll ask, would you be comfortable if we have the pre-hearing conference before you get back? I think that would be fine.
Okay, it's not.
I'll be arriving early morning of 16. I'm heading to the Holy Land.
Tomorrow. Oh, very good.
Have a good trip.
Thank you.
Yeah, but the pre-hearing conference generally is stated in the regs governing procurement appeals. That's just where we schedule and we talk about evidentiary matters and how the parties are going to present that. But are you available for the 10th?
In the afternoon. I know you, I understand there may be a preference for the morning. Unfortunately, I believe I have a hearing scheduled already in the morning.
Okay. Are you available?
Yes. I have open. That's open.
I'm going to tentatively schedule a pre-hearing conference in this matter for February the 10th at 1 o'clock. I'll issue that in writing this afternoon just to verify the times as well. Put out formal notice. Okay. Are there any other matters that we need to pick up here at this time?
No, not that I'm aware of.
If not, it is 10:05.
Just for clarification, Ms. Paris, please take note that the Guam is no longer accepting service by facsimile. Can you give us, because that's how most people, yeah, so why this?
We have encountered difficulties internally with ensuring that we get our faxes, the legal division gets our faxes in a timely manner. And although I understand that's not necessarily a burden for any outside agency to carry, we have provided our email address and have been in constant communication with the OPA staff via email. So we provided that my official email address in the same notice. We can receive PDF documents via email if required, and the fax. I'm just not aware that there's an obligation to receive them. If you want to do both, that's fine. But as a secondary measure for your office, that's fine. However, we're putting everybody on notice. We will be filing these in all matters before you, unless there's some reason why we can't. That fax service is simply not something that's been accepted.
I'm just thinking more for the general public. Yeah.
Indeed, we've been making efforts to make opposing counsel.
You're not able to get your own dedicated fax?
At this time, wow, our budget's tight. at this time, that is one of the options that we're looking into. And again, I acknowledge this is not our difficulties internally with ensuring we get those documents by fax. It's not a burden for any outside agency to bear. Okay. At this point, however, in order to ensure that we do get our documents timely, we're putting that notice out.
Okay. All right.
I just wanted to just clarify what happened.
All right. Anything else? Then it's 10:08 a.m. and this matter, hearing is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.